You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to OK Boomer. I'm here with Victoria and then two very special guests who I will get to in a second. Tonight is the night before the recall election, and our sponsor who makes this show possible, Angela Marsden, is doing a viewing party at the Pineapple Hill Saloon tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Please go there, support her, go out and do your civic duty and vote. Vote the right way, not the way Victoria wants you to vote. But please support the Pineapple Hill Saloon because they support us. And before I get to our guests, I want to say in remembrance of 9/11, Victoria, I couldn't turn on a TV show without hearing your grandfather's song.
It's good for his residual checks.
Well, I'm just saying, I thought about you all day long.
You shouldn't be thinking about me. You should be thinking about the people. But I understand the sentiment, Ralph.
Every time I hear...
I had nothing to
Are
do
you
with
talking
the
about
song.
Lee Greenwood?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
That's our grandfather.
Wow. That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, in studio, Victoria, to your left, we have the beautiful... Lori Downey Jr.
That's funny.
Widow of Morton Downey Jr. She is a former dancer, a Rockette, I believe.
No, I was too tall to be a Rockette. I was on Broadway.
But you were on Broadway. Yeah. You're a dancer. Now she did producing of TV shows for Morton and that radio shows. And then to your right, man needs no introduction. The man is a radio icon, number one in New York, number one in Houston, number one in Los Angeles, number one in San Diego, number one everywhere he's ever been. And when you and I do this podcast as a hobby and a joy that we like doing so much, and people talk about Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan as these luminaries in the world, Magic Matt Allen invented streaming radio over 20 years ago with the Demons of Decadence, Outlaw Radio. And not only that, you think radio is a big thing. He's also the youngest man to ever perform at the Magic Castle at age 13.
That's very cool. I love the Magic Castle.
I think the coolest part is beginning radio on the internet.
Yeah.
Why do I get no credit?
I have no idea. I actually have read an article, though.
I'm a friggin' awful promoter. That's the answer.
What was funny is I read an article about Outlaw Radio, and it wasn't in a radio publication. It was in a cigar publication.
Yeah.
And they talked about your show. Yeah.
Mr. Cigar.
Yes.
Back in the day,
They called you a.k.a. Mr. Cigar. But they talked about how you were like, the only person doing this, and your audience was coast to coast. It was huge,
yeah.
And no one got it.
Yeah, it was during the cigar boom. We were all making money. Anybody associated with Stogies, and I just took passions as well. I love radio. It's what I've always done. And I love theater. And I love the smell of grease paint. But that's a story for another time. But the point is, I used the passions, love Stogies, and great spirits, bourbon, beautiful martini, even though Milt Larson, proprietor of the Magic Castle, taught me years ago, Matt, what is this gin crap? That's not a martini. That's a... No, he said vodka. He said, it's not a martini. He said, so he had the bartender, Issa, at the castle. He said, make him a proper martini. And it was gin and a twist. He said, now that's a martini. Vodka is simply vodka.
Now, I get that.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, where'd you come up with the idea of streaming radio? Because you were the first.
It was... My partners at the time were sort of ahead of the curve when it comes to technology. And I am 100% a Luddite. Go, Boomer. And if it were me, I simply want to do a radio show through terrestrial radio,
right?
And that's how we began. But at the same time, when we were on terrestrial radio stations throughout the country, smoking, drinking, interrupting, we were also on the internet. And because these two, one a great Armenian friend, the other.
Well, Sam Denoff was a part of that back in the day.
Well, Sam Denoff was only, and by the way, that's a man from old Hollywood, Persky Denoff. They were known as show fixers, and especially when it came to sitcoms. They put on That Girl, that was their show, and a myriad other TV shows. But those old classic guys were a part of Outlaw Radio, which was called Lighten Up at the beginning, which is really a stupid friggin' name for a show. But, you know, Lighten Up, Lighten right. Up, you get it, double meaning, really stupid. Go boom.
I only like double entendres. Yeah. The other stuff is.
Yeah. No, I like stupid names, obviously. Lighten Up, Go Boomer. Come on. But no, it's working for you, and you're a lovely woman. And by the way,
I had nothing to do with that either.
Because she's not the boomer, and so you're the boomer.
Technically, well, yeah.
Yes.
And obviously, technically, so am I.
Right. You too.
And Lori. So I didn't know what to expect, but I got to tell you, at first blush, you come off sort of shy, but sweet as hell.
Me?
Like a truly good gal.
Thank you very much.
And that's the honest to God too. So it's a pleasure to be here. You know, we could have been here, and then you got some bitchy broad, and then yeah, that's fine too, because that's great dynamics for
I'm very
a show.
Well-meaning.
You know, I can get into that.
I will tell you, and Lori, what you'll truly appreciate about Victoria, and we've talked about it on our show. Her grandfathers are Lee Greenwood and Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Incredible. This gal has been working her butt off since she's like 12 years old.
Yeah.
But she won't take a dime from anybody.
No kidding.
Wow.
I mean, I'll take it, yeah. But the likelihood, not so much.
But they ain't giving it.
Yeah, you gotta work in my family. Yeah.
No, she has. I mean, the job she's done. At her age, she's been the assistant manager of the Grand Havana Room for the last 8 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and she's an aspiring writer. She wrote a stage play, which was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And she's also an artist. Her drawings are fantastic. She's a poet.
No, this is for me, this is your superlative.
Yeah.
You're a banjo player.
Oh, yeah, I do. I play banjo.
Wow.
I love banjo in music.
It's the best, man.
I love
every
banjo.
Every time I hear it, it makes me happy. Except my dad says that I can play a sad banjo, which I think Steve Martin did a bit about. So I feel pretty proud about that.
And who taught you how to play the banjo?
Technically, who taught me how to play the banjo, my dad was the first person who ever taught me how.
You told me Dolly Parton.
Well, no, she's one of the reasons why I wanted to learn how to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that, and then I had to, when I lived in Nashville, part of, like, the curriculum was we went to the Grand Ole Opry and we learned about bluegrass.
Got it.
Do you sing as well?
I can sing. I was in choir, but I wouldn't consider myself, like, a singer by myself. Although I was on a veil for a country, like, I was supposed to play this country star in this movie. And I had to do the whole audition, like, a cappella, and I was very insecure about it. But they were like, no, we love you. I was like, okay, I guess I could sing then.
What were you going to say, Matt?
Did you ever stay at the Grand Ole Opry Hotel?
Maybe when I was very little, but I probably don't remember.
You would remember, because I did. I was there for a week.
Oh, yeah?
And from my room, I could not find the way out.
Oh.
I'm not exaggerating. This hotel is about a million square feet. No, it's got to be several million. And there's no way out. So, and I would take a hike. I like to hike. So during the day, and by the way, it never gets sweaty there in Nashville, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, it's really nasty.
That's what boomers do.
Yeah. Right?
Are you more literal than
No, I'm very sarcastic.
You are?
It probably takes me, I don't know how much caffeine I've had or not today. So that's also not like, huh?
Yeah.
Everything is either yes and for me. I'm like, okay, sure. Or everything is just very dry.
Yeah, well, that's improv, yes and.
Yeah.
See what you learned? I know. So I couldn't get out of the place. So in order to take my hike, I had to open the window. I was on the first floor and go over the trellis into the field and then come back the same way. Yeah, so obviously it's unlocked for anyone to. But I kid you not, it's the worst hotel in the world. I love Nashville. I mean, I had a great time there.
Were you doing radio there? Or
yeah, we broadcast all week from Nashville.
Well, I cried when I was a little kid and we moved there. My main reason was because I found out there wasn't an ocean. Yeah. I sobbed. My mom's like, there's a river. And I was like, what? Yeah. Where are we? Because I was from L.A.
You were 18 at the time.
No. Yeah, right. Might as well then.
No. Yeah. There's not a lot of water, but lakes. There's some nice lakes. But
yeah.
It's a great town and great vibrant town. But you don't miss it. You like being in LA, this cesspool that was a great town.
I was born in North Hollywood, so I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So yes is the correct answer to what you asked. Yes, I like this cesspool town.
But you know, we talked about
still here.
Yeah. Exactly.
We talked about this last week. I think it's the age, because when I came here, I was roughly the same age. I was 28, I think, 27, 28. I thought California was the greatest thing coming out of the
Bronx.
Because
it was.
It was
back
then. Because
it was.
But also, in your life, your future's way more in front of you than at 58.
Right.
There's not as much future left in front of me.
Well, you have to keep reinventing yourself.
Correct. But the ages are slow. It's like,
no.
I'm not going to live another 58 years.
No.
I'm not going to make 117. Trust me on that.
Do you want to?
Not really. So for Victoria, she's got so much more future in front of her than I do.
And Victoria was in 2010, Miss Encino.
Yes, you Googled me.
Did you?
I guess you did.
I almost, when you talked about the Encino Hills, I almost threw that out there, but I thought I'd save that for myself. But yes, I was Miss Encino USA.
A little birdie from Gomer Pyle told me.
Uh-huh.
Now this, you may not understand that or remember, but Ronnie Schell was the honorary mayor of Encino.
Okay.
And Ronnie Schell is a character actor who's been in a ton of Disney movies and lots of TV. And he is a face that you may even recognize, even though you're not a boomer, okay?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I have an old soul.
She actually does.
Yeah. No, I can tell. And this guy is the honorary mayor. And because of... And he's celebrating his 90th birthday.
Wow.
But he's still 17.
Yeah.
He really is. Yeah. But he'll celebrate in December, 90.
I didn't know he was still alive.
Yeah.
Really?
90. Yeah. I mean, the last time I saw him was on Outlaw Radio, which was probably about a decade ago.
Oh, no. He's been
And
older.
He got into a fight with another old dude on your show. It was Shirley Jones' husband.
Yeah, Marty Engels.
Marty Engels.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
But congratulations. that's cool.
Oh, yeah. No, it was fun. It was a good time. Yeah. It was definitely fun when I did it.
Do you have a plaque or some sort of an award?
I have sashes. It's your pageant person, you know?
Yeah, well.
You have sashes, and then I competed in Miss California USA.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What was your talent?
You don't have talent in the USA system. That's America.
No kidding. That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's literally you're interviewing, like you're being, it's, you have a platform. So mine was, cause I love the ocean. So mine was like Heal the Bay essentially, but like you have different platforms that you stand for.
So
and that's about it.
Small world. One of the semi-regulars that I happen to like on Outlaw Radio happens to be good friends with James Kotak.
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, good friends. My mom dated Rudolph Schenker for 10 years. So
yeah, what a talented guy.
He referred to as my German father. He's the best. Well, because my mom dated him from the time I was like 6 until I was like 16.
If he were literally your German father,
I would
never have to work again.
No, she told me one of the reasons why their relationship hadn't worked out was because she wanted like a normal life for us and like didn't want to take us to Germany. And I like had to stop. And I'm like, are you serious? That's the worst excuse ever. Because we all love Rudolph. But he's fantastic.
Good guy.
Amazing. Klaus, like all of us, like Scorpions were. And then James, I know his sister really well, Athena, because Bobby on the Real Housewives like a rock show. And we were friends with
Matt knows
kids.
Bobby Brown.
Well, when you you mentioned Bobby,
Bobby's like my aunt.
Well, Bobby,
she's in town right now,
happened to be the hottest broad on the friggin' planet.
Yeah, yes. She's still pretty great.
Was it the Warren?
The Warren, yeah. Cherry Pie.
Yeah.
Cherry Pie.
Yes.
Holy bitch. On that car?
Yeah.
And she was over about
over.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, she's still, you can tell it's Bobby Brown. And liked her. And
she looks the same. She acts the same. She's the best.
Yeah,
she's in town. Her and my mom are like best friends. My mom also, was engaged to Janie all throughout me being in high school.
Wow. It's a small, scary rock and roll world.
So I knew Janie really well. That was what my play was based off of, was my experience with Janie and my life.
Now explain to the audience, Janie Lane?
Janie Lane, the singer from Warren. Yeah.
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 Who's no longer with us, unfortunately.
No, he's not.
What was he, 50? No, he wasn't even 50. He was 45?
I don't remember, to be honest.
He was young.
I was in college, and I saw him the day before he passed away.
But you were pissed that your mother stopped dating Klaus.
No, Rudolph. That's Rudolph. Well, yeah, I mean, I'll always be mad. Well, either that or mad. Yeah, not that. They belong together.
Is that the resentment you have with your mother?
No, I think it's more deep-seated than that. Yeah. I don't know. My mom's great, but she was with Rudolph for 10 years, and she was with Janie for
like
5.
That's a long time. Yeah. Wow. So she's a rock and roll mama.
Yeah, she'll tell you she's probably a girlfriend or a wife.
She had roadies that used to babysit her on stage.
I did.
Yes.
Backstage.
Wow. Backstage, sorry.
Or on the side of the stage, never on the stage.
ZZ Top, right?
ZZ Top.
Was it Lynyrd Skynyrd?
No.
I thought it was a Southern rock band. Your mom had one of the guys watching you.
You got to talk to her, probably. Yeah. I don't know. She'll talk stories about like Guns N' Roses. She'll say, like, Axl Rose, she, like, gave me a baby to him, and I just started freaking out. Being like, because he's like, I'm great with kids. And I was like, what are you thinking, woman? What are you thinking? Or the guys from Def Leppard, who apparently I was really rude to, and I apologize for, because they're great musicians.
No, I love them.
As an adult, I think they're, like, the best, best bands.
I'm with you. Love Def Leppard.
They're so good. And I was a dick to the singer.
Oh, that's terrible.
I was an absolute dick to him at the Sportsman's Lodge.
Yeah.
My mom says I swam up to him, and I'm, like, 7, and I said to him, and they're, like, sitting and having lunch and laughing, and I'm like, I don't know why everyone thinks you're so special. You're old and fat, and I swam away, and he thought I was super.
That's so sweet.
I was such a dick, and he thought I was like super funny. I guess I don't know. He loved it.
Yeah. So your mother is no stranger to being leather clad.
I mean, not sure what that terminology means.
Like, she used to wear, that was a clothes back
then. She had to be wearing leather, right?
Well, yeah, her quote is leather in any weather, so. That's her exact quote.
That was the style back then.
I think I have a leather skirt that are older than me that she gave me, but yeah.
Yeah. I'd sniff them. I get them
dry cleaned is what I do.
Yeah. Okay. But no, that must have been fun though, growing up. We've talked about it, though. I mean, it's a different lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, my mom was, my mom was in Playboy, and she was in a lot of those music videos.
No, wait, she was in Playboy?
My mom was in Playboy, yeah. And she was in a lot of those music videos. That's why she was friends with...
You're glossing over this, though.
She
wasn't a centerfold.
She wouldn't be a centerfold because of the stipulations, I think, of, like, the nudity you have to show.
No, actually, what she said on the show was they control how much you can earn for
there
the next year or two.
You have to sign like a contract.
Because they own your likeness, and you can't promote certain products. You can't go on certain... You have to do what Playboy wants you to do.
Thought that she had the ability to make more income on her own?
She did. My mom is very smart.
So she's an entrepreneur?
I mean, she was also a working actress. So she was always on different television shows. She had different products.
We recognize her? Probably.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I can't say that yes or no. I mean,
well, you can say it.
I don't know. I mean, for certain things, she was just a working actress. Like, my mom was always working. So
you've seen her, right?
And she raised 3 kids.
We had her on the show.
And
I mean this sincerely. Her mom is gorgeous.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. But not
how could she not be? Look at this gal.
They look. Their face is identical at the same age.
Yeah.
But more than that, she's gorgeous. Her mom is like a real broad. I mean, she is so cool.
Yeah. She helped a lot of musicians.
She has no filter. She'll tell you what she's thinking. Yeah. She doesn't candy coat anything.
Yeah, but is she sort of a hippie chick?
No.
No, she's the complete opposite. Look, she married 2 country guys.
Yeah,
well, kind of.
Right.
They're like, she would help a lot of the musicians, too, Janie included, with their royalties. So my mom knows, like, a lot about just the laws and music and would help them all. Because when Janie met my mom, he had no money. He had, like, he literally didn't even have shoes, really. And she helped him.
He was blown through his ASCAP royalties.
She helped him. Well, he also wasn't getting any. So she helped him figure it all out because she's smart like that and did that for multiple really big musicians, like the guys from Dio and stuff. She helped them all with their royalties. She's smart. I don't know how, or like, I'm like, you want to help me? That's where I become like a little baby. I'm like, Mom, help me with this. And she's like, it's done. And like, will send me a link to something.
Do you ever ask her how she accomplished it? So you'd retain that knowledge?
I mean, she's just figured things out. Cause my mom was very much on her own when she was 15. So she just was just smart and figured things out. That's just kind of her personality.
So broken marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my mom, I mean, she's my mom had my older brother when she was 19, And then, you know, she had three kids by the time she was 23.
Wait. Older brother. Okay, yeah.
I have an older brother and a little brother.
When she was 19. Okay.
Right. Yeah, so her first kid by the time she was 19, and then she had three kids by the time she was, like, 23. So, and she raised all of us and made us all go to private school, and she did that all on her own.
That's what I'm saying. Her mom's a real brother. Yeah. I mean, but instilled the same values in you, and that's why you started working at 13.
Yeah, she's a hard worker.
Right.
But she knows her stuff.
Yeah, sounds
she's
like
very, it. She's very on point.
And, no, it's Katie that likes magic.
Well, I mean, I like magic. I've been to the Magic Castle.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
13 years old.
That's really cool.
Came all the way down from the Pacific Northwest by himself.
That's awesome.
Greyhound bus.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's a story I've told way too many times.
That's so cool. Yeah, I've been to the Magic Castle for my birthday before. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were there on a Sunday brunch. If you were pre-21...
This was after 21.
Oh.
Yeah, this was after 21.
Were you hitting it hard in the Al Bar?
I was with my family, so probably not so much.
Yeah, you
but
were doing good.
I liked the piano, and I made Irma sing David Bowie songs to me, or play David Bowie songs to me.
Which David Bowie?
That's our favorite artist.
I love all David Bowie, but the Hunky Dory is my favorite album
as an
adult.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah. Tin Machine, not so much, but...
I never, so here you are, a David Bowie aficionado. Never understood China Girl. Just never really got it. And by the way, could an artist release that song today with the woke idiot stick dipshits?
Probably not.
Can I say dip?
You just did.
You could also argue, you could argue about the song in general. But I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just don't like. No one has.
Regardless of the lyrics, which I think are odd, I just there's something about. And who gives an ass what I care about the song? But you brought up David Bowie,
sure.
And it's like one of my least favorites. Although I'm not that huge David Bowie fan. I appreciate his genius because I do think the man was a genius writer.
One of the greatest duets was him and Bing Crosby, the Christmas song.
You know, Bing didn't want to perform.
No, he hated it.
No. Bing wanted to perform another song, and Bowie said no. It was too religious. So Bowie chose the song that they ended up singing.
The drummer boy.
And that was...
Oh, it was the drummer boy. That's correct.
Yeah. And that was...
Fantastic.
You know, Bing died within 6 months, 4 months after that. That was his last Christmas special. Did I spit on you?
No, you didn't.
I tried.
Thank you. Next time.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Huh? How about that, Lori?
Excellent.
How about that, Lori?
I found out something about Victoria recently that made me laugh. Mm-hmm. Her dad will take her to any restaurant she wants to go to on her birthday.
Oh,
anyone,
yeah.
Pick any restaurant in Los Angeles. You know what she picks?
What?
Well, that was one
Mel's
time.
Drive-In.
That was one time.
Wait, Mel's?
Because I like Mel's. Yes. I like Mel's. I like diners. I like drawing. So I draw with the, I take the crayons and I have the white paper thing and I draw. Okay. And I get breakfast food.
So you love Bowie. And I do understand, as I've mentioned, I understand that his genius.
Yes.
And I love diners.
Yes.
But I can't stand Mel's Diner.
It's this one here, not the one in Hollywood. The one in Sherman Oaks is fantastic.
Well, Mel's Diner replaced a place called Ben Frank's Sunset Boulevard. That was the original Mel's Diner, I believe. And the food sucked. It was overpriced. It was almost like a bad deli. And it, in lieu of being an actual diner, because I love Jersey diners and New York diners. And
the ones that look like the Airstream.
And diners in Philadelphia.
I love those.
But I love a great corned beef hash and eggs. You know, anything is bad for you, fried, and I love that. But Mel's, maybe it's because you had a great first experience there.
I've been going there since I was a little kid, and I used to play.
So that's
soccer.
What it is. That's all it is. It was,
yeah,
you know,
it's fun.
It could have been a really good diner that you went to, and that would have stuck with you, and you would have liked that one instead of crappy Mel's.
And the reason I brought that up, one of Laurie's favorite places in Long Island is a place I can't stand called Friendly's.
Oh, I love Friendly's. Yeah, see,
I've kicked so many asses at Friendly's.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So good.
Yeah.
Friendly's is this place in Long Island. you can't help get sick of the food and get into a fight in the parking lot.
Well, yeah, there's always a fight in the parking lot.
Sounds fun, Ralph. Yeah. Sounds like a good time, okay?
Yeah, it was.
It was. It actually was pretty cool.
Yeah, food is good. Just like Mills.
So to make a long story short, because of my passion for radio and cigars and great spirits, we started a radio show about cigars about 23, 24 years ago when cigars were all the rage, you know, even that dip-ass Madonna smoking it. And I shouldn't say that.
By the way, that's when the Grand Havana Room opened. I think it was 24 years ago.
That makes perfect sense. And I shouldn't say that about Madonna because I'm in a movie with her coming out on Netflix.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah. And but she really is. Politically, what a dummy! But not as dumb as Cher. You know, so there's that. And P.S. Do I have respect for not? And you didn't ask.
I didn't.
But do I have respect for Madonna? Tons, because she spread her legs and that's what she was doing here in L.A. When I was on KFI as a baby DJ. She would go from program director to program director, plying her wares to get her song added. And at that time, it was a song called Lucky Star. I'm certain you've heard that song.
I do know the
song,
yes.
And it worked for her. So I have said this, you know, who's the jackass here? Who loses? So what? She's given up some poontang to become a multi-gazillionaire. I don't hold that against her.
That's
because
good.
She's another gal that can really barely sing. You know, and yeah, I like Britney Spears, too, but she can barely sing or dance.
I actually like Britney.
I do, too. Yeah. But Madonna, she couldn't even dance when Lucky Star hit. She had to train to be a dancer after she became a star. But that's a gal who would do anything to become a star.
I always thought Madonna tried to be Dale Basio, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And poor Dale.
Right. I mean, love
poor
her.
Dale. There's Madonna and then poor Dale. Lori and I saw Dale and Missing Persons with our buddy from the Knack.
Prescott Niles. Yeah, he's
Prescott playing.
Niles. I'm friends with Dale's son, too.
That's right. I heard rumor of that.
No, I didn't know you were friends with Dale's son. Yeah. No, you
Prescott's
son.
I'm friends with... So Dale's son and Prescott's... kids, all three of them, they're friends together. So I've been to a lot of Missing Persons concerts.
Oh, wow.
I love Dale. She's a sweetie.
She's Madonna. She's Lady Gaga.
Gwen Stefani ripped her off.
She was the first one.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, maybe Debbie Harry, but I mean, Dale Bowser's
well,
right
Laura there. Well, Laura and I were invited by Prescott Niles about 4 years ago, and this was not in the best part of town.
No. It's scary.
It was like on the verge of Orange County, but not. I think you know where we're talking about.
Yeah.
And,
it's like Seal Beach.
Yeah, not even that nice.
No.
And but inland. And Dale was, she's been through a lot. And it was fun to see our friend from the Knack perform.
Yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned sort of in tandem the parallel, Madonna, Dale. It's like, who has the last laugh there?
Madonna does.
I mean, Madonna. You know, it's what you do. It's like your mother. It's like, how smart are you? And it's not intelligence more than it is being pragmatic about things.
Yeah.
And being smart, not necessarily intelligent, but just streetwise
for
smart.
For sure, yeah.
How do I get from here to here to here?
Well, I think, I think anything with the entertainment industry, the sad thing is when you see entertainers, a lot of them are very emotional.
Yes.
And so with that, there's a vulnerability. And if you surround yourself
Are you emotional?
Bad people, of course.
Are you a big lefty, big lefty? Or are you middle ground?
I'm middle ground for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I'm a compassionate human being. But
yeah, but so am I.
Yeah. So,
ultra compassionate. So but yet I'm on the right.
But you can be emotional then.
But I
can.
Compassion
and empathy.
I have
are
a
very
female
similar.
Side.
But that doesn't have, I wouldn't equate those things to politics. I would just equate that to being a human being, hopefully.
Right.
So,
right. But that was a different question for you, asking what side
sure,
of the fence you're on.
But to finish my first
I
statement was just
your mom
to
would
say,
be proud of you right now.
people in general, I think it's easy to get taken advantage of if you're in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
If you surround yourself with.
But you're calling
people.
It emotion aside from simply being a dipshit.
No, because it is. There's an emotional aspect of being vulnerable and if you're
yes,
creative. And
right.
I witnessed it. I saw it with Janie.
Yeah.
And that can play into your trauma.
That's true.
Because a lot of people use their trauma for art. And then that also plays into addiction and other issues that people
it's,
have later
it's like
down the
guy
line.
You want to go find that's living under the underpass.
Yeah. Who I love.
Yeah. the black, what's
Sly Stone.
Sly Stone.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy that probably made so much money in his life.
He made nothing but cash. The man was a drug addict all his years. And we were talking about this on a show that I do. And would he have been that genius without the drugs? And I don't think so. How about that?
I think there. That's like a valid
thing. Like Janie,
thing to
say. Same sort of thing.
I don't think so with Janie. I think Janie drank, and when he drank, he became a worse musician.
Oh, he did.
And he wasn't
what about creativity?
A drug addict. No, he did his best stuff when he was sober, and he even talked about that. Like, he wrote with Tom Petty, and he was sober then. He only drank to get away from things that he didn't want to cope or deal with.
Right.
And people around him would feed him alcohol to keep him submissive.
Well, we didn't really finish the story about the Scorpions and James Kotak.
Yes.
And I don't get it. I love the man. He's a great drummer. He's a good Kentuckian. He's a good man and with a great heart.
Yeah.
And that's James Kotak. And he went through some friggin' hell.
He did.
And his demons screwed him, man. Yeah. Screwed him. Had the greatest gig. Really one of the greatest gigs on the planet.
And the Scorpions?
Yeah. And the Scorpions.
Yeah, and they're very, like, Rudolph does yoga every day.
It's business.
It's business for them. They don't do that stuff. There's liability.
Why do you think the Stones have been so hot and so smart for so many years?
Yeah.
One guy, Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
He's the businessman behind it.
I mean, it's Matthias, Klaus, and Rudolph. And then Paolo, who they hired, but it's the three of them.
But these guys are tight as hell, and it is.
And they're smart, and they're very healthy.
It's a corporation.
Yeah.
You're not going to screw up that corporation.
No.
But I'll tell you what, in their defense, not that they need defending, when it came to my buddy, our buddy, James Kotak, Laurie's buddy, James Kotak, the man that they were, it wasn't my way or the highway. They gave him tremendous opportunity.
Yeah.
They gave him a lot of latitude, too.
I know they cared about him a lot.
To get off the sauce.
Right.
And the stuff that Kotak could do on that stage, standing on his drums.
Yeah.
If you're drunk doing that, I think you die. And I used to tell him, be careful, because you're going to die that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen... it's a different platform. I don't know, because Janie couldn't do much. He'd get to a point where he couldn't sing, and it was sad. It was really sad to see, and there was a lot of footage of him when there was a Key Club performing there, and it was sad to see him that way, because he was a very talented person.
The Key Club on Sunset?
Yeah, when there it was still...
I brought the Spice Girls on stage.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Really? Yeah, no, you're kidding, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, I think it's cool. Yeah. I love the Spice Girls.
I had to be backstage with all the pillows. It's like, it wasn't like a backstage. It was a dressing room that was the size of this building with pillows strewn everywhere. And
Was the Key Club the old Ben Gazzari's?
I believe Gazzari's. I believe it was Gazzari's.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny. You took an old actor and then you made it a nightclub. Ben Gazzari's.
That's right.
But Gazzari's, yeah.
Right.
And it became the Key Club. But I was responsible. Boy, if you don't hate me already here.
I don't hate anyone.
Well, just think about it. consider the notion. This could put the plug in the jug. It was because of me that song, their first and really, really only hit, really big hit, was added at Kiss FM. Because I heard it. I heard it. A record pig. That's what we call them.
Okay.
Promoters who come in.
And
I heard the song. Our program director didn't hear it. You know, he heard it, but he couldn't hear it.
Sure.
And it's like, I said, no, this is a hit. Give it to me this afternoon. Let me play it. I promise you, the phones will go friggin' nuts. And it was the number one hit. And today, I can't stand that song. But I heard
Spice
it.
Girls.
I also did that with Not One to Boast, ever.
Yes.
With Sinead O'Connor's
Nothing Compares to You.
Wow.
And I heard it. He didn't hear it. I said, this is a smash hit. Written, by the way, by Prince.
Yeah.
Prince was the first man to talk about a genius.
Yeah, he is a genius. Yeah.
But there are a lot of people in the music biz, and the term genius is so overly used, and it's just bandied about, and it's like, no, they're not a genius. They're sort of a lucky person.
Yeah.
You know? Mozart was a genius.
Huh?
Mozart was a genius.
Oh, yeah.
I, Well, I'm more of a, who's the guy I
Chopin.
Like?
Chopin.
Yeah, I'm more of a Chopin guy.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm a minor chord guy.
There you go.
But, and I only say that so you think that, you know, maybe at some time in my shower I'm elite. And I really know what I'm doing.
Well, that's what drew you to Trent Reznor.
I love Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty cool.
One of my favorites of all time is Trent.
David Bowie liked him.
And by the way, see, I've never let my politics, because I don't know if you've established in your mind that maybe I'm a little bit on the right.
I gathered that pretty instantaneously.
But I've never let politics get in the way of my passion for performers.
That's good.
Well, because there's no, Trent Reznor, you know, big old heroin using lefty, hates, you know, anybody on the right. I don't hate him. The man is an effing genius.
Yeah.
I have every one of his, what do we call them now? Recordings. Let's just call recordings. And even that's old. You know, that's a...
Yeah, well, he didn't drop a song back then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, songs drop now on a certain day. I think usually Thursdays. They drop. Yeah, they're not released.
Drop.
Yeah, they haven't been released in years.
No, they drop.
They just drop.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terminology that sort of your terminology.
I never heard that one before.
Seriously?
Dropping? No.
Yeah,
that's big. That one.
They go out on Instagram or TikTok. Oh. All my fans, Thursday, 3:00, dropping a new tune.
Wow.
Laura, your hair is lifting.
Oh, I better call my agent.
Yeah. I saw a chameleon yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Obviously not a very good one.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so bad. Did you practice that on the way over here?
Is Pete Coburn somewhere behind him?
No, that's my favorite joke of all time.
Is it?
My second favorite joke is a man that walks into a Cadillac dealership, and the salesman comes over and says, "So you're thinking about buying a Cadillac?" And the guy said, "No, I'm going to buy a Cadillac. I'm thinking about pussy."
Wow.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's it. They're almost as good as Ralph's jokes. Yeah.
So glad you brought that up, right? You didn't want to miss that one.
Is this a PG show? I mean, we're not a terrestrial.
We're not a
terrestrial.
No, but I just like it to be funny.
Thank you.
That's a great joke. That's a great joke.
I just like it to be funny. Matt, I don't know if I ever asked you. When you were 13, what magic did you do? Was it card tricks?
Same crap I do now. If someone puts a gun to my head and makes me perform, never card
tricks. What an image.
Razor blades.
By the way, that's one of my tricks. Gun to my head.
Gun to your head. Do magic.
Never card tricks. I was never truly dexterous when it came to cards, but I swallowed a lot of razor blades.
And really? And sponge balls. You did those too.
Yeah, I do the sponge ball magic, which was not taught to me, but sort of peripherally by a guy named Albert Goshman. Al Goshman was the greatest sponge ball magician. And it wasn't simply that he was so adept at performing miracles with sponge balls, but his patter, the shtick around what he did was so entertaining and brilliant.
So you swallowed razor blades. There must have been a trick to it.
While singing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
While singing Old Black Magic.
Oh my God.
I'm a musician too.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, I am. I'm a musician.
There's a server at the Grand Event Room that swallows fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
you put it out.
Yeah, you do.
The oxygen, yeah.
Otherwise you burn up.
Yeah, yeah.
And die. Yes. And then that's the end of the act.
Pretty much.
Actually, Matt comes from a family of musicians. His dad was at Mastro's.
A family of gypsies.
Forever. He was the piano player that played at Mastro's for 20...
One-man band.
One-man band for
that's awesome.
20 years. His brother tried to be a musician. Marty's played in a lot of bands.
Yeah.
From Lipstick to whatever, Circus, whatever the names of his bands were called.
Yeah. God bless him.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, I miss the kid.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of the myriad shows that I do. He's a regular. And he simply decides not to show up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't even tell me sometimes.
No, he won't text. He won't.
Nothing.
You know,
just
why wouldn't
no
you
show.
Do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of sounds, my little brother's similar, I think, in that regard. My brothers were both in a band together.
Oh, yeah.
So it's my little brother and my older brother.
Scale of 1 to 10, how proficient are you at playing the banjo?
Well, right now I have fake nails on.
Forget about that. Yeah, like if you don't.
On a scale of 1 to 10, probably like a 7 or a 6. A 6 or a 7.
Okay. That's pretty good. Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell's more of a guitar player. Yeah, but different.
Wait. Who's the hee-haw dude?
Well, I like Scruggs. That's my favorite. And then
wasn't he the guy the Beverly Hillbillies? Wasn't that his song?
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe.
I mean, and then
Earl Scruggs.
Yeah, Earl Scruggs. Everyone asked me if I can if I can play the Deliverance. So I learned how to do that.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, because they're like, play the Deliverance.
If you're
going to
play the banjo, you better learn that song.
I didn't know it for like years, and I learned it like maybe last year with my older brother on guitar.
Did you learn it by ear?
No, I had to. Everyone learns the banjo differently, so I have an instructor that I go to for like fine tuning things, and a lot of it, like the banjo itself, was an instrument that people taught each other how to play.
Is that a picking instrument mostly?
Yeah. Like you have rolls. They're called rolls. Yeah. So it's like a forward thumb roll is like a basic one, but you have different rolls that you learn and you put them in different chord progressions. But essentially, I had to learn part of that song from another person teaching it to me, and then I learned by reading the book, like music.
Laurie plays violin.
I did for years.
Violin's insane.
I've known you for 10 years. I never knew that.
That's insane. Yeah. That's such a hard, crazy instrument. That makes no sense to me.
That's why I wanted to play it. Because I asked one year, what's the toughest instrument to play? And they said the violin.
Literally.
I said, that's what I want to play.
That's so cool.
There is nothing sexier, in my opinion, than a female violin player. In Jeff Lynne's newest carnation.
I love Jeff Lynne, by the way. He's my favorite music producer.
Okay, now we're on the same wavelength. I know everything.
When the whole world and all the musicians started dying, like all my favorite ones, like Prince and David Bowie, my thing was like, you protect Jeff Lynne at all costs.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And here's the good news. He doesn't do drugs.
Yeah.
He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He's a very boring guy.
Yeah.
But a brilliant guy.
Yes.
And since I was a kid, I have every one of ELO's albums.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
And the man is revered by me and so many in the band. He's, you know, they call Billy Preston, you probably don't know.
They call him the fifth Beatle.
They call the great Billy Preston the fifth Beatle, but they also call Jeff Lynne the fifth Beatle because his influence was so Beatlesque. Yeah. What was my point? There was a point here before.
Violinist.
No, sexy violinist. And in his newest ELO, he's got two of the sexiest. And even on a scale of 1 to 10, they don't have to be 10s in hotness. Talk about females
now.
And the way guys, heterosexual males, look at females.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I just want you to understand.
I've seen the rating systems.
You have? Yeah,
I understand
okay. But she can be a 7 or an 8, and the fact that she's playing that violin makes her like a 12. The dance troupe, those gals that dance and they don't move their bodies, but they only move their legs. The Scottish.
The Irish jig thing.
Yeah.
That is the sexiest. and they're playing violin.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Sign me up.
Wow.
Do you think you would... See, you could do that if you're
No, they're very, very, very different. They're completely different. There's guitar players that have a very hard time playing banjo.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I don't play banjo to be attractive. I think it's actually the opposite. I think I try to lessen myself to by playing banjo.
You know who else doesn't play the banjo to be attractive?
Who?
Angela Marsden does not play the banjo to be attractive, but she does sponsor this show, and I always promise her 2 shout-outs an hour. So, if you're in the neighborhood of Moore Park and Van Nuys Boulevard in the Oaks of Sherman, you'll see In-N-Out Burger. Don't go there. Go to the end of the shopping mall.
Don't go there.
And then you will see the Pineapple Hill Saloon. Go in there for a couple of munchies, fries, a tuna melt.
Or even
patty
food.
Yeah, they're really good.
And have a cold, frosty one or a Jack Daniels and support the Pineapple Hill because they support us. So, there.
That's true.
Great saloon.
Yeah.
You actually were one of the first ones to have her on radio. After they shut her down and put the movie set in there.
Because she was so right. Here's a gal just trying to, and it doesn't, you know, gal, guy, but she happens to be a female. Could have been a man, happened to be a female. But a sweet gal who simply wants to run a business. And because of the governor of this state, this piece of shit, Newsom, who truly is a piece of crap, and running this once beautiful state into the ground... She simply couldn't conduct business, but yet a movie set outside in her parking lot They were catering food.
150
people. 150
yep. people.
Incredible.
And I believe maskless at that time. And it's the big lie. I mean, I don't want to get
too... It continues. The big lie continues.
Yes, it does. But the A-wipe, of course, he's at the big dinner at one of the most expensive restaurants
in Northern
California. Not a one with a mask. Why? Because they know it's a crock of crap. They know that masks don't work, and it's a political football.
There was something I wanted to ask you coming in, and I don't know how this clicked it off in my brain to remember it. In all of your years interviewing, did you ever interview Rose McGowan?
No, I have not. No.
Did you? You know, she came out yesterday, and when she was going through the Harvey Weinstein...
Well, she came... What do you mean she came out?
She came out and said something.
Yeah.
And so
well,
when
she
was...
does every week, but yeah.
When she was going through the Harvey Weinstein thing of bringing Harvey down, she got a phone call from Newsom's wife asking her to drop it.
Right. I know about this.
Right. Yeah.
And that really enraged her.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I got to tell you, I love this gal. She walks the walk. She talks the talk.
Roseanne McGowan. You're talking about? Yeah.
I love her.
She hung up when she got that call. She hung up.
Yeah, she was like livid.
But Gavin Newsom is livid right now. He's trying to discredit the whole thing, saying it never happened.
No way.
Unfortunately, he's probably going to pull through, and then this state... The state of California has not hit rock bottom. Well, we think it's pretty bad.
I feel like it is.
But it's like an alcoholic. An alcoholic has to hit rock bottom. I mean rock friggin' bottom until they'll get help. And California, I don't think it's rock bottom yet.
Well,
and it may take that, Ralph.
Lori may see it more than anybody else. Lori, you're in the... yes, you were a dancer.
Yes.
A producer. Mm-hmm. An actress. Mm-hmm. A beautiful woman. Oh. A violinist. Yeah. But you're also in home security.
I am.
You're seeing crime in places you've never seen crime before.
It's out of control right now.
Wow.
In Southern California, in Los Angeles especially.
What is the worst city in our little L.A. County, you were telling us?
Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Brentwood.
Yep.
It's getting hit really hard right now.
Yeah.
And we're getting hit with homeless people who are invading people's homes, you know, taking over their homes, cooking in their houses. You know, one guy stomped out someone's pet birds.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
They're mentally ill. They're going after people that are just minding their own business in their own home.
That's crazy.
And on top of that, we have gangs. We have first-time... They're being released from prison because Newsom doesn't want anyone in jail.
And you that's Gascon as well.
Right.
But
that
robbery on Melrose was really scary from last week.
Yeah, but that's these are things I see every day.
How frightening is that?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You're eating... These two women and a guy were eating lunch on Melrose on the outside patio cafe.
Not only that, alfresco.
Alfresco as well. Two guys come up with guns, took all the bags they did from shopping, took their cell phones, took their watches.
Took their jewelry, everything.
And just walked off.
See, that is...
But they hit other people that day.
That is Gascon. Those are people who govern from a left point of view. Oh, well, they were brought up very poorly and they had a bad childhood. See, this is why we don't vote for idiots.
Here's the problem.
Have you voted? Did you vote to get rid of Newsom?
Did I vote? I did vote.
Here's the problem with LA right now. People don't know what's going on.
You're so smart about so many things.
Like if you, Victoria,
I'm not going to say what I voted for because I don't feel like it.
Victoria,
I don't think anyone really knows anything anymore.
Trust me, I will tell you this.
Yeah,
I've gotten to know Victoria very well from hanging out with her at the Grand Havana Room and being on a show with her weekly. I can't tell you which way she voted.
Yeah,
and I mean that.
Thank you.
I mean, I have my suppositions, but honestly, I have no idea.
Well, I don't either.
Right.
And I swear, I'm not swaying one way or the other. And P.S., you know, nobody probably gives an S.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm honestly, if I'm being completely honest. No, I don't like Newsom at all. So I don't like what happened, but I'm still a Democrat.
Yeah, but you let the cat out of the bag.
Well, the problem
is... No, that doesn't mean anything.
Yes,
that
it doesn't.
Yes,
it does. It means you did the right thing. Thank you.
No. The problem is what I see every day, Victoria.
He swallows razor blades. He doesn't read minds.
Yeah.
You will never hear about it in the news because the news does not want to report this. The price of food is going to go up. That's next.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to afford anything.
It's happening now.
Yeah.
Right.
gas.
It's
today,
crazy.
$75 to fill my tank.
It's ridiculous.
It is absolutely insane.
So the homeless have it right because they've been stealing everyone's bicycles because in time we're not going to be able to afford our gas and we're going to be buying bicycles from the homeless.
Yeah, but Lori, that's what the left wants, see, because the carbon emissions, the fuel, that's what's killing Mother Earth. These are what these idiot sticks believe.
Well,
it's a big lie.
Here's what's happened in almost all great societies in all time.
Yeah, whether Rome didn't last forever.
I was going to say, Egyptian Rome. When things get so well that you concentrate on things that really don't matter in the big picture.
100%. Spot on.
That's when societies crumble.
Yep. Well, didn't he have a winery like that wasn't affected?
Yes.
That we sell their wine at the cigar club.
Do you really?
Yeah, of course.
And the restaurants at his winery were open as well.
Yeah,
yes, when
that.
He closed down everything else. He closed down every other winery but his.
Well, this is coming to a close, so I'd like to really... Matt, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I owe you a couple of Cuban cigars, my friend. Did you like the one I gave you?
Why are you asking me the question I already answered?
Because I like hearing it again. I like validation.
He does like validation.
Well, I mean, don't we all sort of? But some, Victoria, some of us don't live for it.
Yeah.
That's just nice.
But hey, Ralph, I wasn't... You know me. I'm a loudmouth. Yeah, it happens. I'm a loudmouth. But I tell you the truth, and it was beautiful. The cigar was great. We look forward to lots of drinks and expensive food tonight.
That's perfect.
You know, via you, Ralph. And are you working tonight?
No.
We'll get the lamb shank. It's my favorite thing on the menu, the lamb shank.
By the way, great in the rock band we've been talking about the entire time. The lamb shanker?
There you go.
Is he one of the great performers?
Yep.
Your mother never should have left him.
Yeah. I'll let her know.
Okay.
I'll let her know.
Bo Peep didn't have it. All right, Lori, thank you very much for being here.
It was fun.
All right, I really do appreciate it.
How do you know it's over? How long
the
do
time.
You know?
I have a clock right there that tells me I'm 20 seconds over. And Victoria, thank you very much. You have the guests for the next 3 weeks.
I do.
All right, we'll be back next week.
You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.